Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Bells on Their Toes is an autobiographical family memoir by Frank B. Gilbreth Jr. and Ernestine Gilbreth Carey, first published in 1950 as the sequel to Cheaper by the Dozen. It follows the Gilbreth family after the death of Frank Gilbreth Sr., the father whose work in industrial engineering and efficiency shaped the household and much of the family identity. The book is both a domestic portrait and a historical record of how Lillian Moeller Gilbreth, a pioneering engineer and psychologist, managed a large family while continuing professional work in a male-dominated field. Rather than presenting engineering as an abstract discipline, the memoir shows how time and motion study principles, organization, and discipline planning shaped everyday family life. It also explains family history more fully, including the earlier death of the second oldest child, Mary. The result is a memoir that combines humor, resilience, and practical problem-solving with a distinctive view of early 20th century American life. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a memoir of family continuity after the loss of Frank Gilbreth Sr. The central structure of the book is the family response to the death of Frank Gilbreth Sr., whose absence changes both the emotional and practical balance of the household. Instead of treating grief as a brief background event, the memoir shows how loss becomes a permanent condition the family must organize around. This gives the book its main tension: the children and their mother must preserve stability while adjusting to reduced income, altered routines, and a changed family hierarchy. The narrative is not primarily about tragedy and isolation, however. It focuses on adaptation, showing how the family keeps functioning by redistributing responsibility and relying on shared habits already shaped by the father's efficiency philosophy. That makes the memoir distinctive among family books because it presents resilience as a daily process of management rather than a single heroic act. The emotional force of the book comes from this combination of bereavement and practicality, where affection, discipline, and household order are all linked. Secondly, Lillian Moeller Gilbreth as a pioneering working mother and engineer. One of the book's most important dimensions is its portrayal of Lillian Moeller Gilbreth, who carried the family after her husband's death while continuing her professional work in engineering and psychology. She is not presented only as a nurturing parent, but as a highly capable leader whose expertise gives the family both material support and intellectual structure. The memoir is significant because it places a woman engineer at the center of domestic and professional decision-making at a time when such a role was unusual. Her work demonstrates that management skills developed in industry can be applied to family life, and the book repeatedly links the two spheres. This is more than a biographical detail. It is part of the book's argument about competence, organization, and authority. The household's home becomes a testing ground for the same principles that shaped industrial efficiency. But the book also shows that human judgment matters as much as systems. Lillian's presence, therefore, gives the memoir historical importance as well as narrative strength. Thirdly, time and motion study translated into ordinary domestic life. The book stands out because it applies industrial engineering concepts to the management of a large family home. The Gilbreths are known for efficiency methods, and Bells on Their Toes shows those methods not as theoretical ideas, but as habits embedded in cooking, scheduling, child supervision, travel, and household coordination. This translation of professional tools into private life is one of the most memorable features of the memoir. It suggests that organization is not limited to factories or offices, but can shape how people share work, reduce waste, and manage limited time and money. At the same time, the book does not reduce family life to a machine-like system. The humor and warmth of the narrative show that efficiency can coexist with affection, spontaneity, and sibling cooperation. The result is a practical portrait of how methodical planning can support a large family without eliminating its individuality. For readers interested in management history, the book offers a rare domestic setting for ideas that are usually discussed in industrial terms. Fourthly, sibling cooperation, responsibility, and the economics of a large household. Another major theme is the way the Gilbreth children share responsibility as they grow older and the family's circumstances become more demanding. The memoir shows how domestic labor, emotional support, and practical decision-making are distributed among siblings rather than concentrated in the parents alone. This matters because the family is large, and the system of cooperation becomes essential to keeping the household functional. The book also emphasizes budgeting and financial adjustment, making clear that large families must treat money, labor, and time as connected resources. The children's increased responsibilities are not framed as hardship alone. They are also part of their education in competence and independence. That perspective gives the memoir a social and economic dimension, since it illustrates how family structure can shape character through shared work. The household is therefore both a home and an informal training ground, where children learn organization, discipline, and mutual dependence. This is one reason the book remains appealing. It presents family life as a set of coordinated roles rather than a purely sentimental ideal. Lastly, how the memoir balances humor, explanation, and historical memory. Bellows on Their Toes is notable for the way it combines light, episodic storytelling with a deeper historical purpose. Like its predecessor, it uses humor and lively family scenes to make the narrative accessible. But it also expands the historical record of the Gilbreth family by clarifying events and relationships not fully addressed before, including the death of Mary Gilbreth. This gives the book a dual function. It entertains as a family memoir while also preserving memory and context for later readers. The title itself signals that the book is interested in social life, courtship, and the growing independence of the daughters. But the memoir never loses sight of the practical realities shaping those experiences. Its structure allows the reader to see the family as both memorable and historically situated. The book's endurance also comes from this balance. It is not just a nostalgic portrait of a large family, and not just a biography of engineers. It is a memoir that explains how personal character, professional ideas, and family history intersect in one household. In conclusion, Bellows on Their Toes is best suited for readers who enjoy family memoirs, American social history, and books about the practical side of organization work. It will also appeal to readers interested in the history of engineering because it offers a rare view of efficiency methods inside a home rather than a laboratory or factory. The book has clear value for those who want to understand how a family adapts to loss while preserving structure, dignity, and humor. It is also especially useful for readers interested in women's history. Since Lillian Moeller Gilbreth emerges as an unusually strong example of professional authority and domestic leadership. Compared with many memoirs, it stands out because it is both affectionate and analytical. It remembers family life warmly while showing how systems of planning and cooperation actually operate. Compared with many engineering histories, it is unusually human and accessible. That combination makes the book more than a sequel to Cheaper by the Dozen. It is a distinctive record of resilience, household management, and the practical reach of industrial ideas into ordinary life. If you would like to support Frank B. Gilbreth, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.